we'll get into the book, which it's called Shloka 3. I hope I'm audible. I can't turn around and speak. Okay. Yeah. Shloka 3, it's called three shlokas. Shlokam means verse, trayam means three. So Shloka 3. So Shlokam is Shlokam as well as Traya, three. The number three is considered feminine. Therefore, Sri Lingam. Therefore, I think it's because of Shlokam being Triling, it comes as Shloka Trayi. So Shloka Trayi or three shlokas. So this is one of the short work of Sri Narayana Gurudeva. So he is popular for his the SNDP, the association or organization that is there in Kerala, who do a lot of service. So he is generally known as a person who did a lot of social service, who helped people, who try to remove the boundaries of, or in short, the caste system, the caste system that people have formulated of the four Varna Ashramas. And as a result of creating that, what happens is, only Brahmins as well as Kshatriyas and Vaishyas, to some extent, they are also entitled to learning the scriptures, whereas the Shudras are not entitled to learn. So if a person is Shudra, he cannot learn the Shastras. Though it's all a matter of controversy, because there are cases, there are people mentioned in the Upanishads who have been of low caste than Brahmin, but still it's something controversial. People can quote their own reasons for things. So he is known for trying to remove the boundaries and saying that everybody is one and the same. And then he's also very well known to consider that for humanity there are no many religions. What we consider as many religion is, there is no such many religion. Humanity in itself is a religion, that is the biggest religion. So religion for everybody is the same. We cannot differentiate people based on their religion. So that was also one of his concepts or what he tried to propagate. But unfortunately, he is known only for all those. And he is not known for the vast amount of Vedantic works that he has written. So he has written quite a lot of works. So Balakrishna Nair has written an entire two big volumes containing all of Sri Narayana Gurudeva's works, Vedantic as well as other works. And there are certain works in which he speaks about the truth as per Advaita Vedanta, exactly Vedanta, or pure Vedanta, that is what he is speaking. But he is not known as that. It's unfortunate that people generally, when you hear his name, people don't know him as per Vedanta. Same as Amma. People know Amma, but people don't know that what Amma is trying to preach, what Amma is trying to live, is Vedanta. So, similar way. So this is one of his very short work, very brief Vedantic work, and which encompasses just three shlokas. So the crux of the work, the main content of the work, is about the truth and different means of knowledge, or what is known popularly as pramanam. So are pramanam valid for the truth? How can we really know the truth? Truth also has to be known in some way. So how do we really know the truth? How can we grasp the truth? How can we benefit out of knowing as to what is the truth or knowledge? Ultimately, it comes to the fruit. And if we have to get the fruit out of Vedanta, we need to know the goal or the subject matter of Vedanta, which is Brahman. So that, in short, what Sri Narayana Gurudeva tries to explain in these three works is that whatever pramanam, whatever proofs or whatever means of knowledge that we have for Brahman, all those are insufficient to give us experience of Brahman. So experience of Brahman is something which cannot be proved through any means. So even like Shruti Pramanam or scriptures are said to be one of the proofs, one of the Pramanam or means of knowledge to realize Brahman. The scriptures are the only place where we can really get an idea about Brahman. But can the scriptures speak about Brahman? They cannot speak about Brahman. Oh, if they cannot speak about Brahman, then how do they speak about Brahman? So, like, the scriptures speak in different ways. So, the simplest way or the best way that the scriptures explain about Brahman is what is known as Neti Neti. So, the famous shloka of Kathopanishad where it says, Manase Vedam Aptavyam, Manasa Eva Idam Aptavyam. This has to be known through the mind because we don't have any other instruments to realize Brahman. But if we say it can be known through the mind, that means it becomes an object of the mind. Anything that is an object of the mind is limited by the mind, which means it has a limited longevity. It stays in the mind for a period of time and after that it vanishes. That means the happiness that we get or which we will get out of such mental concept about Brahman, that will not be eternal bliss. Because if it is eternal bliss, it cannot be limited by the mind. It shouldn't be limited. Anything that is limited, that cannot be blissful or fully blissful. It can give us happiness, but it will give us only temporary happiness, not permanent happiness. So that means, so manasa eva idam aptavyam. So what does that mean? So the scriptures immediately, Yama is a teacher there. So my Yama immediately understands that there can be confusion. Nachiketa would think, okay, it's not through the mind. That means like it is limited, so I don't have to learn such thing. What is the point of learning that, which is again limited like any other worldly experience? I don't want it. So therefore, he says, Neha nana asti kinchana, naiha nana asti kinchana. There is no duality at all here. So that means duality or multitude is being removed, which means that is one way of telling there is no duality. Another way of putting it is that everything is just one entity. Both are one and the same thing. So that is what, like, those two aspects, whether we see everything as one, say that everything is one, or we say there is no duality, in both the cases there is no two. So since there is no two, there is only one, therefore there cannot be any limitation. So limitation itself means or assumes that there are two entities. So this car limits me. This car limits me. I cannot do whatever I want because I am in the car. So the car limits me because I am different from the car. There are two things. So with two, the limitations start. But when there is no two, then there is no limitation. So that means there is no limitations. That is the only way scripture can explain or hint at Brahman. But even after listening to that, many of us don't really understand it. So, yeah, I understand. Perfectly, I understand. But still, I think that there is something wrong with my understanding because I don't really benefit out of it. I'm able to understand perfectly, but still, I don't get the bliss. I'm not blissful. So that means what is really lacking? What is lacking is that the truth is something which can be hinted at, but which cannot be really pointed out. The moment it is pointed out through words or thought, it becomes limited, which means it ceases to be the truth that we call. So the truth we are speaking is not like any other truth. The truth that we are speaking about is that which is blissful in nature, that which is anandam in nature. So there cannot be like, we cannot, in short, so the truth that we are speaking about is blissful, which means that we can only hint at it. It cannot be expressed in words or thoughts. So that is what is the crux of this work. That even though the scriptures might speak about Brahman, they speak about Brahman, th- they don't speak about it very clearly. They are speaking about it clearly, but this is, it's not really clear because the moment it comes into word, we get confused. My sister has asked me many times as to vision of oneness. Deha nana asti kinchana. There is no duality. That means everything is seen as one. Said Ramakrishna Paramahansa saw everything as one. Vivekananda saw everything as one. So what is that vision? Can you explain to me? I'm still not able to get. Will everything be seen as Brahman? Will everything will become Brahman? If everything becomes Brahman, there is no everything at all. There is no duality. So my sister has asked that many times. So that means that the knowledge that we have, like from the scriptures, because scriptures are also words, that's not complete, that's not perfect. That's the reason why we need to do sadhana. So going back to the Kathopanishad statement, manase vedam aptavyam. So what does the mind mean there? The mind means purification of the mind. Or a mind which is very, very pure, which is fully or completely pure, that mind can know that there is no duality at all. So that is what the scriptures say. But those words cannot be clearly understood. So even the scriptures cannot speak about Brahman. So if somebody comes and tells, okay, come, I'll explain to you Brahman. I'll explain to you moksha. Yes, can be explained, but that explanation is not going to be complete. Explanation is not going to be perfect. That explanation, just listening to that explanation will not make us realize. Because the truth is something that has to be experienced by oneself. It's our own very nature, but we have to experience it. We cannot like through any means of knowledge understand it. So the three very common means of knowledge. So I know that it's like lot of concepts there because this work is not related to all these, but still it has to be explained. So in short, the various scriptures, various darshanas speak about three means of knowledge as the main ones. So three means of knowledge. So knowledge means knowledge of an object, that object exists, and knowing the object in all its aspects. All aspects in the sense, like all aspects at the empirical level. When we speak about valid means of knowledge and all aspects of object, that means any object is Brahman. So all aspects of the object means realization of Brahman as well, which cannot happen. So that is not what is meant at the empirical level. All aspects of the particular object. So in the first one, or the very basic means of knowledge is, when I see this object, my eyes grasp those objects. So eyes are the knowledge, by knowledge, valid means of knowledge, the knowledge there means perception, or perceptual knowledge, as it is commonly known as. So by perception through any of the sense organs. So my eye, it hits this object, I get a knowledge of this object, I say, okay, this is this particular shape, it's not rectangle, it's not square, it is something very strange, it is not a normal shape. And then it shows some information as well. So that is knowledge. So this knowledge, like where we know an object by sense contact, or the sense objects coming in direct contact with the object, is generally called like perceptive knowledge, or it's also called as pratyaksha pramanam. Okay, these are a lot of concepts. Pramanam. So pramanam, the word pramanam means valid means of knowledge. Valid means of knowledge means that knowledge which doesn't have any doubt, any quantity or amount of doubt in it. So when I see this object, if I have some doubt about the object, okay, is it a bird, is it this, then it's not valid means of knowledge. It's not considered valid knowledge. So valid knowledge is called as prama. So prama means valid knowledge. The means, or the way to get valid knowledge, there are different ways to get knowledge. I can know directly, I can know like something by Amma's words. Amma says that, okay, this is right. So by Amma's words I get it. I don't really see something. But Amma says, okay, your parents are in trouble. Amma says, I don't really have to see it, but still I believe. So that is another means of knowledge. So there are different means of knowledge. So that pramanam. So there are three means of knowledge. First is pratyaksha pramanam, or it's called in short pratyaksham. Means when the sense organ comes in direct contact with the object, it is called pratyaksha. So that is one of the means of knowledge. So there are couple of more which Sri Narayana Gurudevan speaks about here. So the second one is called anumanam or inference. So the very, very, very common example that is said is, the very common example is, like there is a mountain, we see a mountain and there is smoke from the top of the mountain. So when smoke is coming out of from the mountain, we don't really have direct experience of what is happening there. We just see the smoke and we say, okay, there is fire in the mountain. So our sense organs don't have direct contact with fire, but still we see smoke. We have direct contact with smoke. So wherever there is smoke, there is prone to be fire as well, because one cannot be there without smoke, cannot exist without fire. Therefore, I see smoke and I infer that fire is there in the mountain. So this is the second type of knowledge, means of knowledge. So this is called anumanam. So first was pratyaksham or direct sense contact, and in second, we don't have direct sense contact, but we have contact with something else, which in turn infers or makes us to infer that whatever is to be proved, that fire is there, we infer fire. We don't directly see fire, but we see smoke, which is a relative of fire. So wherever smoke is there, like wherever smoke is there, fire also has to be there. Wherever Aparna is there, her parents also will be there behind. Wherever Rajesh is there, thought about parents will be there. So we can infer that. We don't see. We don't really see things, but still we can infer. So that is the second means of knowledge. And the third means of knowledge is called Shabda Pramanam. So Shabda Pramanam, or it's also called Shruti Pramanam in some cases. So Shabda Pramanam means authority. We can say it is called authority, I think that's the right pronunciation. So some person who is an authority on some subject matter, he says something, therefore there is no doubt regarding it. So when Stephen Hawking speaks about physics, there is nothing to object. When Newton speaks about science, nobody can object because he's an authority on it. When Shankaracharya speaks about Vedanta, there is no doubt at all because he is an authority on it. So that is the third. So, but for authority, like even for authority, what happens there? How do we get the knowledge? So when somebody says, when Stephen Hawking says that there is God, I prove that there is God. As per physics, there is God. So when he says that, what really happens is we listen to him. So there is perception also as part of that. There is perception, there is sense contact with the person, but we don't really have contact with the original, whatever is to be known, but we have contact with something else. So that is what happens. So these three are the normal means of pramanam. So pratyaksham or perception, direct sense contact, anumanam, which is inference, and the third is shabdam or word, which is verbal. It's also called as verbal testimony. We can consider it as a subpart of perception. Everything is based on perception, because without perception, anumanam also cannot happen, because you have to perceive smoke to infer fire. Sorry for the lot of concept things, but in short, with all these three means of knowledge, we cannot know Brahman. So, explaining or trying to explain that we cannot know Brahman by these means of knowledge, and we can know Brahman only by our sadhana and our own intuitive experience, like anubhavam, sva anubhavam, one's own aparoksha anubhavam. That is the only way to realize Brahman. No Brahman in whole, complete. That is what Sri Narayana Gurudeva tries out here. That is what Sri Narayana Gurudeva tries out in this work. It is just three shlokas, three small shlokas, but it speaks about, these three shlokas speak about that Brahman is not object to anything. So in short, it is another way of telling Manovacham Agochara. And that is what Ramakrishna Ananda spoke about in New York. In New York when he spoke about Aprameya, the nama of Aprameyam. So Prameyam means object of knowledge is called Prameyam. Aprameya means that which is not an object, that which cannot become an object of knowledge. It cannot become an object of anything, because the moment you objectify things, the object is dependent on the subject, which means there is a limitation. That limitation takes away happiness. So we have to remember that anything that is limited is cannot give us happiness. We are learning Shloka Trayi, we are singing bhajans, we got good darshan of Venkateshwara. Can that give us happiness? There is only one criteria to find out. Is it limited? Limited with respect to, can be limited with respect to time, with respect to space, with respect to any other aspect. Is it limited in any way? If it is, then it cannot give us bliss. It can only take us towards bliss. It cannot give us bliss. So this is of course limited. Venkateshwara, we cannot stand inside the stand near the deity at all times. Even the pujari cannot do that. The only way to do it is you have to become that stone. Maybe if you get like, if you pray that, oh, next birth, Aparna can pray, next birth, let me become the idol that is there in Pittsburgh. Yeah, that will happen. And then you can become one with the idol. But then you cannot, you can also cry saying that, oh, I became an insentient stone. Earlier, like, I didn't have bliss. Now I have bliss, but still I cannot experience it because I am insentient. I'm not conscious of it. So that problem will happen. So anything that is limited cannot give us happiness. So that is what the fact that any means of knowledge cannot give us realization is what Sri Narayana Gurudeva explains in the three shlokas. And like we discussed about the pramanam, because he speaks about the pramanam, he gives words or names as well. But in short, the only way to realize Brahman is by putting effort into it, removing all obstacles that are there in the path, going more and more towards concentrating, contemplating that I am that self. There is nothing else to achieve. I am that. I am blissful. I am not limited. I don't have any limitations. Irrespective of whatever is the limitation, irrespective of wherever I am, whatever I am doing, I am blissful. Therefore, I am Brahman. That is the only way to realize Brahman. There is no other way to realize Brahman. Even like sadhanas that we do of meditation and other things, those are meant to remove other thoughts and focus on the thought that I am Brahman. Unfortunately, our very nature is Brahman, but we are not able to remember our nature. We are able to remember everything else. We are able to remember that I have parents, I have to take care of my parents. Sorry. I have to take care of my parents. I have to take care of things. I have a lot of duties. So that is what is very normal. So though our very nature is self, we are not able to remember that. We are able to remember everything else. So if that is the meditation or sadhana, what it does is, one side, it tries to remove the wrong notion, wrong identification that I am so and so, I have so and so people, I have so and so things to do. All those things, it removes all those wrong identifications and it helps us focus on the right identification that our very nature. So as Ramana Maharshi says, Aham ayam kuto bhavati chinvata aipatatyaham nija vicharanam. When we remove the limited I, the moment we remove the notion that I am the body, I am so and so, automatically what else memories can remain behind. When everything drops off, there is only one constant even in all those things. When we say, I am this, I am that, I do this, I do that, there is only one thing common in all those, which is I. So remove the uncommon things. Remove the things that, okay, I am this, I am that. Remove the limited notions. What will remain behind is just that I. That is realization. So that is the only way to realize. It is anubhavam. And, oh, it is anubhavam. It cannot be proved by any means. So there is no guarantee for it. Therefore, I won't go. Like, well and good. If a person thinks that way, he'll never realize. Because the guarantee is that it is our very nature. So, even proofs are there. Anumanam, Shabda Pramanam, etc. are there for proving as to we are the self. But proof cannot make us realized. It's like telling, okay, there is, I see water there. I see water. I see a can of water. But just by seeing can of water, that proves that the can of water is there. But just by seeing can of water, will my thirst get quenched? It will not get quenched. If thirst has to get quenched, I have to drink water. So that is what is really required. So that is implementation. So scriptures or any means of knowledge has a limitation. What can really make us realize is that implementation or our sadhanas, and always abiding in the truth, that will make us realized. Always remembering that, everything is just one and I am that one entity. Therefore, if everything is one, then where is yona hrishyati na dveshti na shochati na kanshati. How can there be dvesham? How can there be ragam or dvesham? How can I get attached? I cannot get attached to myself, because only I am there, then how can I get attached to myself? How can I get angry with myself? Because there is only one. Only when dual notions or two things are there, those raga, dvesham and other notions are there. So it's as simple as remembering that everything is one entity and I am that. That is implementation and that will give us realization. So that's the reason why we see many people who are well, who are learned in the scriptures, but they don't have any realization, because scriptural knowledge is also only paroksham. It's not aparoksham. It's not direct experience. Again, experience is also a pramanam. So here experience means experience of I without anything. So that means it's not an experience at all. From the state which we are, we have to speak like that. So in dream, when we are dreaming, Amma comes to us and says, like Prashanti, Amma comes and says, oh, you are Brahman. You are the dreamer, you have to get up. So what would Amma say? Amma would say that, remove the dream and you will realize that you are the dreamer. But is there any dreamer to remove? There is no dreamer to remove. But still, from that perspective, it has to be explained that way. So from our perspective, we only know about experiences. So that's what our education system and other things have made us, that we just believe in what we experience. And this self-realization is an experience, but it's an intuitive experience. It's an experience that is not like any other experience. The only thing that can make us realize, make us get this experience, is a strong faith and progressing in the spiritual path, just remembering Ishvara at all times. Sorry for the lot of boring. So, first shloka is Asti Dharmi Janumitihi,
Asti Dharmi Janumitihi,
Asti Dharmi Janumitihi,
Asti Dharmi Janumitihi.
It's not Dharmi, Asti Dharmi Iti Anumitihi. So asti dharmiti anumitihi,
asti dharmi
na cholla para, asti dharmi tyanumitihi,
asti dharmi tyanumitihi,
asti dharmi tyanumitihi,
asti dharmi tyanumitihi,
kadam bhavati vagapi,
kadam
bhavati vagapi,
kadam bhavati vagapi,
katam bhavati vagapi,
katam bhavati vagapi,
asti dharmi tyanumitihi,
asti dharmi tyanumitihi,
katam bhavati vagapi,
katam bhavati vagapi,
अस्ति धर्मी त्यनुमितिः
अस्ति धर्मी त्यनुमितिः
कथं भवति वा गति
कथं भवति वा गति असन्निकृष्टत्वादस्मिन्
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 प्रत्यक्षमनुमानवद्
प्रत्यक्षमनुमानवद्
सम् पीपल् परमात्मा सीज़् दट् वे प्रत्यक्षमनुमानवत्
प्रत्यक्षमनुमानवत्
अस्ति धर्मीत्यनुमितिः
अस्ति धर्मीत्यनुमितिः
कथं भवति वागपि
कथं भवति वागपि
असन्निकृष्टत्वादस्मिन्
असन्निकृष्टत्वादस्मिन्
प्रत्यक्षमनुमानवत्
प्रत्यक्षमनुमानवत्
अस्ति धर्मी
अस्ति धर्मीत्यनुमितिः
कथं भवति वागपि
कथं भवति वागपि
असन्निकृष्टत्वादस्मिन्
असन्निकृष्टत्वादस्मिन्
प्रत्यक्षमनुमानवत्
प्रत्यक्षमनुमानवत्
सो ही गिव्स् अ कण्टेण्ट् मेटर् आफ् दिस् वर्क् अफ् कोर्स् इट्स् ओन्ली त्री श्लोकास् सो अस्ति धर्मी इति सो धर्मी So dharma and dharmi. So subject and object. So dharma. Dharma is an attribute. Dharmi is the one who has or who experiences the attribute. So in this case, dharmi is the person who is pramata. So we said prama is knowledge and prameyam is the object of knowledge. So object, subject. So prameyam is object of knowledge. Pramata is the word for the subject. So prameyam is dharma, pramata is dharmi. So just know that dharmi means a person who is experiencing or who is having these valid means of knowledge, who is having pratyaksham, who is having anumanam, who is having shabdam as well. So asti dharmi, this dharmi or this subject exists. Asti dharmi iti anumitihi. Thus, inference, anumitihi. So, anumanam is like means of knowledge. So, prama, I said like prama is the knowledge itself is called prama. Okay, I know these words are all confusing. So, there is a subject, there is an object, there is an action. So, the subject is called pramata. The object is called prameyam. The action in itself is called prama. And pramanam is of different types. Pramanam is pratyaksham anumanam. So the anumana pramanam is called, or anumana prama is called anumitihi. So anumiti is inferential knowledge. But it's simply anumiti means inference knowledge. So inferential knowledge, asti dharmi iti anumitihi. The inferential knowledge that this dharmi, this self, this subject exists. Katam bhavati. How can it happen? So it cannot happen. We cannot infer the Atman. So the Atman cannot be inferred. Oh, why not inferred like we can infer with like Mahatmas like Amma? We cannot infer the Atman because the Atman is without any contact. So the Atman is something which is nishkalam. Nishkalam means partless. So it is partless. Since it is partless, it doesn't have any contact as well. So this body has contact with the car or the steering. So how am I able to catch hold of car? I am able to catch hold of car because for me I have like different components, parts as hands, face, leg, etc. And for the car, steering, body, etc. Can I hold, can I catch hold of, can I have contact with Akasham? I cannot have because space doesn't have any parts. So that which is partless is without any contact. And the scriptures say that Brahman, he has, Brahman is that or Atman is that from which Akasham came. So therefore, Brahman is without any parts. If Akasham doesn't have parts, source of Akasham, or father of Akasham, also cannot have anything. So how was Shuka Brahma Rishi, how did he become a realized person? So he became a realized person because his father also was. Oh, come on, Prahlada. Prahlada was born realized, but his father was not realized. That is when, like, I think we have discussed the story about Hiranyakashipu explaining scriptural knowledge, explaining the truth to his mother and brothers when they are sad, when his brother Hiranyaksha got killed. So that means Hiranyakashipu also was a Vedantin. So therefore Prahlada also had. So Akasham doesn't have parts. The source of Akasham, which is the Atman, also cannot have parts. I don't want to explain. There are other explanations, other ways of proving this, that Atman is partless, but too much logic it will not help us in any way. So I'll not enter into that. Therefore, Atman doesn't have parts. Since Atman doesn't have parts, it doesn't have any contact. So if there is no contact, there cannot be inferential knowledge. It's as simple, because if there is no contact, then there cannot be any perception. And for inference, if I have to infer fire, I have to first see smoke. And smoke should have a relationship with fire, which means they both are in contact. But for the Atman, there is no contact, which means there cannot be any anumanam. And even as there cannot be any anumanam, katam bhavati, how can it be there? It cannot be there. And vagapi, vak means, vak is, shabda pramanam is also called vak. So vak also cannot have any relationship. So therefore, shabda pramanam also cannot give us the knowledge that the Atman exists, the Atman is there. Oh, Amma says that the Atman is there. Amma never says. Amma says, you are the Atman. So the scriptures say, Tattvamasi. The scriptures don't say the Atman exists. Oh, Brahman exists. Nobody will say Brahman exists. But what will they say? Brahman only exists. Oh wait, both seem to be almost the same. It's not the same. So, just think for a couple of minutes. The statement, Brahman exists, Brahman alone exists, both are entirely different, because Brahman exists means we are trying to objectify Brahman. When we say Brahman only exists, that means whatever really exists, we call it Brahman. So we are not objectifying Brahman, but we are saying that whatever exists is Brahman. So clear or confusing? Hey. Clear? No? Yeah, it's as simple as that. When we say Brahman alone exists, so when we say Brahman alone exists, that means we are saying that everything is Brahman. So if everything is Brahman, what we say is, first everything exists. Nobody says everything doesn't exist. So everything exists and we say that everything is Brahman. Nobody questions that everything exists. Do we, like, when I say, okay, you are all Brahman. When I say that, you is already proved because you exist. So you exist and you are Brahman. So you exist, we don't argue that you doesn't exist. So which means that if you's existence is already proved and you are Brahman, so Brahman's existence doesn't need to be proved. Because you are saying you equal to Brahman, you is already proven. So why, what is the need for proving Brahman? Now clear out. So that is what the scriptures will say. Everything is Brahman, Brahman only exists, you are Brahman. You is already proven, so nobody will say Brahman does exist. Mahatmas might say, a guru might say, okay, Brahman exists. Don't worry, Brahman exists. They may say, to give us boosting, to give us confidence, they may say that. But along with that, they will say that, okay, yeah, Brahman exists. Don't even have doubt because you are that. So that will also come there. Without that, no Mahatma will explain it. So that means there is no real doubt about Brahman there. So the scriptural wordings, or certain scriptural wordings like those, are things like that doesn't really objectify Brahman, but it just speaks about Brahman. Things which are already proved, saying that they are Brahman. So that is how it does. So Svagapi. So through words also, Brahman cannot be objectified. I can say you are Brahman, but still, you have to realize it. It's not as simple as with that you know Brahman. You don't know Brahman completely when somebody says, okay, you are Brahman. I don't know. So that means it's not possible. So, asti dharmi iti anumitihi katam bhavati. How can there be anumiti? How can there be inferential knowledge? How can there be word knowledge? Because there is no perception. So, why do you say inference and word is not there, verbal knowledge is not there? Can we... Oh, at the time, Ajay.
What?
Okay, we'll stop next. So, how do you say that inference and word knowledge is not there when you haven't proved that perception is not there? So therefore, I already said that there cannot be any perception because there cannot be any sense contact. But the third and fourth line of the shloka says that asannikrishtatva sannikrishtam. So sannikrishtam is a Sanskrit word which means that sense contact is the meaning of sannikarsham. So sannikarsham means sense contact. So asannikrishtam means no sense contact. Asannikrishtatvat means because of asannikrishtam, which means because of no contact with sense organs, asmin, for this atman, for this dharmi, pratyaksham. Pratyaksham is also not valid. Anumana, but like I said, anumanam is not there. Pratyaksham also is not there. So, I can explain it a little deeper. Anumanam, we don't directly see fire, but still we infer fire. So though there is no direct contact, but still there may be something else which has contact with Brahman. So there is no contact with Brahman possible. So asti dharmi iti anumitihi, the anumanam, the inferential knowledge that Brahman exists, I infer the Atman. Katam bhavati, how can it happen? Vag or verbal testimony also, how can it happen? And asannikrishtatva, because there is no sense contact, therefore pratyaksham also cannot happen like inference. So there cannot be any of these three mean knowledge. We cannot know Brahman in any of these three ways. Which in short we cannot, if we cannot know in any of these three ways, then Brahman cannot be known at all. So that is not what is meant here. Brahman can definitely be known because it's our very nature. So our very nature, there are things that cannot be known. Oh, ghost. Can we know about ghost? Can we know about can we know He-Man? Can we know Spider-Man? We cannot know any of them because they don't exist. So you don't know something, you cannot know. When they said, okay, you cannot know something, can either be that the object doesn't exist at all, or can also be that the object is you, yourself. So if you are the object, then how can you know? It's like telling Srini, I know Srini. You'll not tell that, right? Because there is no knowing yourself. How will you say that? Yeah, after this 45 minutes of lecture, you may say, I guess. Yeah, so there cannot be anything. That is the reason why. So it is not... These three knowledge are not there, therefore Brahman cannot be known at all. That's not what is meant. Brahman can definitely be known, but it cannot be known through these means. It has to be known as our own, our indwelling self, our very nature of I. Purify that I, remove all attachments, limitations by remembering that everything is one entity and you are that. When we do that, when we contemplate on everything is one, then automatically the limitations, the impure I, the impurities in the I vanish. And when that vanish, I automatically, Swayam Jyoti Bhavati Esha, it becomes Swayam Jyoti, it illumines itself, it will illumine itself. Yeah, do we want to continue the next two shlokas or have a short break, right? Vinny, you are the